This is Rina's idea. At the end, in Nirta. Yeah, you know, in Nirta, when all the women are sitting at the table, excited to be finally that you can sing some songs. Yeah, you are.
I love it. Nirta is my favorite part. Right. And everyone else is rushing through, and I'm like, no, let's sing.
So this is what?
We sing a lot.
We sing a lot also, but it's like these are piyut team, beautiful, beautiful piyut team. About piyut is a rabbinic liturgical poetry. The classic example of piyut that we're all familiar with is kinon, right?
And adding zmirot.
Lechadodi maybe. But it's beautiful, beautiful, like piyut. I you know, it's so wonderful. It's written with a richness and associativeness and a deep, like, halachic and agadic meaningfulness that people don't necessarily appreciate. You see at the very, pretty much at the end.
After the
same. It's right at the beginning
after
of
the Shana Babi Yushalayim.
It's the first song in Nirsha.
Right. Right. One more. Right there. What do you have? Hasasul Pesach, right there. Next thing. Keep going. Ubechein Bechasi Alayla. Okay? And it was Bechasi Alayla, in half of the night. This. There are many articles written on this piyut. I found a bunch of them on the internet. So they are very often authorless. It was authored by. Hold on. Oh, I didn't bring my Wikipedia when I lost it. It was written by an author named Yanai. Yanai is his name? He was from Eretz Yisrael. They don't really know who he was exactly, except that's all they know about him. Okay, an ancient liturgical rabbinic author from the land of Israel. I might need that eventually. Okay, and so we're going to read through the psukim, or read through the liturgy, and explain to you how each one alludes to, how each stanza alludes to a different part of ancient Jewish history and its relationship to the night. We're going to see some of the midrashim that this is based on. I will show you. And of course, we're going to look in the Tanakh and see where these elements come to. Some of them I don't know exactly. Some of them are really obscure, that are like hard for me to know in general. But we'll look at, we'll see what we can figure out. The theme of the night, obviously, is a very, very important theme in the Yetziat Mitzrayim. Okay? The first time that we see the idea of midnight. Anybody know where we see the idea of midnight first time? I asked you all to bring a Tanakh. So you'll open your Tanakh, okay, to beginning of two Shmot parak, I think you'd bet. Okay.
Do you want one?
You're good?
Good.
Okay. I think it's Shmot parak, you'd bet.
I have bets when I am as underlined.
You do?
I do.
Hold on.
Vehi b'chatzia alayla.
That's... No.
Is that what you're looking for?
Before we get to that. Here we are. Shemot Perek Yud Aleph. Perek Yud Aleph. Perek Mepasuk Dalet. Okay? Yud Aleph Dalet. 11:4. There you go. Vayomer Moshe. See it? Vayomer Moshe. Ko amar Hashem. So saith the Lord. Kachatzot halayla ani yotze b'toch Mitzrayim. Okay? Kachatzot halayla, what is kachatzot?
Like at midnight?
Like at the night. Like at around.
Like at midnight?
Like at midnight, right. Right. What doesn't it mean? What do we expect?
Here's this double underline.
Ah, okay. I wonder why. Okay, what would we expect Moshe to say? Bachatzot halayla, at midnight. Okay, exactly midnight. Okay, but Moshe doesn't say it. He says kachatzot halayla. So the question is why? And especially because if we look at when it actually happens, when we look, where is that? Here, Perek Yud Bet Pasuk Kaftet. Skip to Yud Bet Kaftet if you have it. I'm going to do a bunch of jumping. It says vayhi bachatzi halayla. It was bachatzi halayla at half. So why does Moshe say kachatzot halayla? So some say, the Midrash says, that Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that the Egyptians are not going to know what exactly midnight is. They didn't have atomic clocks back then. And so they're going to say, oh, midnight came and went, and God didn't do anything. And they're going to be off on their clocks. They're going to be misjudging the time. So therefore Moshe says, kachatzot halayla to them, at around midnight, when midnight comes, you know you should be worried. Okay? And then, but of course, God, only God can tell you exactly when midnight is. It's a very interesting, like, halachic discussion.
Yes.
From the 48, well, no, that's 40 to 49 or later. But there's this notion that humanity It can tell you, you can tell you when midnight is, but even our midnight is only an approximation of midnight, because time is something like on a straight line. There is an infinite number of points on any straight line, right? Remember from math, right? So when is midnight? Well, you think you know when midnight is, but you don't exactly know when midnight is. Only God can decide, can know the exact point of when Chatzot HaLaila is. Right? That there's this notion of that there's a divine nature to the specific timeliness of it. Okay, and so this is the first explicit connection we have to this idea of Chatzot HaLaila, that in the middle of the night, halfway through the night, God decides to strike the Egyptians. And that there's this notion of Chatzot having specific meaning. From this we learn. So why does God wait till Chatzot? Why doesn't God say, 9 p.m., 10 p.m.? Ever wonder?
How could you tell time at night?
When
the sun goes down, you can't tell specific time.
Well, they would know when.
Moon is.
How would you know where the Chatzot is then?
This way they don't really know, and then, you know, that anticipation. Oh my God, when is it going to happen? The fear.
No, but it seems that Chatzot isn't, I mean, it's not seems that. It's clear that midnight, halfway through, what's midnight? Midnight is not 12 o'clock.
Okay?
12 o'clock
is
artificial.
Point.
Right? Midnight is the halfway sunset, point between sunset and sunrise. That's midnight.
So it's fluid.
What's that?
It's fluid.
What is it, though? What is, so what, if that's true,
the
what?
The darkest part of the night.
And?
The scariest.
No. And it's the darkest part of the night. And when, when midnight turns?
The dawn starts.
It's the turning point at which night is over and begins towards day. Yeah, yes, it's the middle of the night, but it's the turning point between night and day. It's Chatzot HaLaila. That's the demarcation point. Just so you know, Chatzot has very important halachic ramifications. For anybody want to know? Anybody going to guess what I'm going to say? Where is that?
Yeah,
what?
Yeah.
Which tefillah?
Shacharit.
You can't say Shacharit in the middle of the night.
Maariv.
You can say Maariv all night long. Okay.
Well, Chatzot for Afikomen, you have to finish eating Afikomen before.
That's true. But in all of those cases, the Mishnah explicitly says at the beginning of Brachot that all of those cases are siyag, right? That Chazal really said you could really eat it all night, but Chazal added a siyag in order to prevent you from going too far.
Okay?
Chatzot has tremendous significance when it comes to saying slichot. Have you ever heard this? There's
You have to say it after Chatzot.
After Chatzot. Okay? And there's a this is like a big debate every year. It always comes up. I mean, whatever, right? You know, there are, like, most people say slichot in the morning, right? The original, the best time to say slichot is right after midnight. The problem is it's like even
in the middle of the night.
Right, it's the middle of the night, so people are tired or whatever, okay? So most people, or a majority of people, say slichot. Like, they get up and they say it before davening. Some people say slichot
late at night.
Late at night, not late at night, earlier at night. This was much more prevalent in America when, like, somehow in America, I don't know if you have this in where you were from, in your countries of origin, but somehow it became a thing that the Saturday night of Slichot night was an event. It became like a huge thing across America that it was like...
Slichos dance.
It was like, they're right, they would do a dinner dance and then have Slichos. And Slichos was like the beginning of the high holiday season. It was a chazanah. It was a concert. Did they do it in South? Do you remember South Africa? You know, when you grew up, you don't remember.
Like I remember, yeah.
Right. It was like a big thing, and you don't. Know, right. This is before our time. This is like the generation
like
before us.
My grandmother always went to slichos because when she was younger, like
correct.
In her 20s, they would do these slichos dance.
It was a concert. They did it. Like it was a real thing. But the point is, you can't do that at midnight. You know, you just can't do it. It's like crazy. So what they would do is they had slichot earlier. So it became a big shayla, a really big shayla about whether you should do slichot. Can you even say slichot at 10:30 at night? So Rav Moshe Feinstein said, you know, whatever. Okay, it's like, I'm really not in favor of it, but you shouldn't do it. And, but then when they asked Rav Avadya Yosef was like, you don't understand. You're playing with things that you don't really appreciate. The time between night and Chatzot, he writes explicitly, is not a time of rachamim. It's not a time of compassion. It's a time of, like, chaos. It's a time of, you know, God's wrath. You don't invoke God's compassion during the time of God's wrath. So Rabbi Avadya felt, and obviously the Sephardic tradition was based much more on the, how should we say, the, what?
Mystical.
Mystical, that's right. He said, if you have a choice, Rabbi Avadya said, if you have a choice between saying slichot at 10:30 at night or not saying slichot at all because you don't have time, don't say slichot at all. Yeah, so interesting. So what happened was, when I got to my shul in Detroit, in Oak Park, they had always had this long tradition of saying slichot at 10 or 11 o'clock, whatever. They did 11:30 or something, right? And the women used to come because it wasn't ridiculous. But Detroit is on the western end of the eastern time zone, really, literally on the, all the way on the western end. So midnight, chatzot, was 1:20 in the morning. So I came in, and of course, the young whippersnapper rabbi, and I actually don't think I made a mistake. I said, we really should say it at chatzot. The point of saying slichot is to say slichot. We should say it at 1:20 in the morning. Which they said, okay, we did, and like, you know, 20 people come. Like, I killed basically the slichot night event for whatever it was. I don't know. I didn't care. Like, you know what I'm saying? You'd like, whatever. If you want to have slichot, I actually preferred to say slichot the next morning, like before davening. It was Sunday morning. It was a big deal. But maybe because I didn't grow up with the whole slichos, what have you. Anyway, so this idea of chatzot has halachic ramifications as well. That the first part of the night is considered bad. Down. Things are getting darker. And after chatzot, that's considered then the time of compassion, of, you know, of hopefulness, of whatever. The time of goodness, the time of blessing comes along. So that theme is also an important background to the idea of chatzot that we're talking about here. So let's read in the Haggadah. Uvechein vayihi b'chatzi alayla. Okay? Uvechein, furthermore, okay, vayihi b'chatzi alayla. It was in the chatzi alayla. Az rov nisim hifleita balayla. You see there's a theme. So just point out in the piyut, you'll notice, it goes by the alphabet. See the alphabet gimel, az barosh ger. Okay? So it goes in the acrostic of the alphabet, and it's always Balayla. There's always at night, at night, at night. So it's a very beautiful, very poetic, really beautifully written piece. Az rov nislim hifleta balayla. Rov doesn't mean the majority. Many, many miracles. Hifleta, you did wonders. Balayla. Do you guys have a tune? Or you just, you kind of recite it? We do it. Rosh Hashmoret Zeh HaLayla. Gert Zeh Nitzach Tokin Echak Lo Layla. Vayehi V'chatzi HaLayla. Anybody have anything else better? No, it's pretty... pretty much recitation. We got to think of a tune. If you go on the National Library of Israel, because I did a research for this, I did a little search, they have recordings of all the different nusachot of, like, you know, how people recite it. They have all kinds of different...
Was yours on there?
What?
Was yours on
there? I didn't click on all of them, but the two that I did were not. But it was more like... whatever. Okay. Barosh Ashmoret Zehalayla. What is Barosh Ashmoret? So this is actually an allusion. If you do an internet search for the words Barosh Ashmoret, and you look at
the watches of this night.
Okay, but Barosh Ashmoret, when it says Barosh Ashmoret, Zeh Halayla. So where is Barosh Ashmoret? So that refers to, one second, I wrote it down. It refers to Gidon, somewhere in Shoftim, because I wrote down the Pasuk, but I can't find, now I don't know where I wrote it from. Okay, it says in the Pasuk, Vayavo Gidon, Ume ha'ish asher ito b'kzei ha'machaneh rosh ha'ashmeret ha'tichona ach hakem hekimu et ha'shomrim. Where's Gidon? It's somewhere in Shoftim, but I didn't write down, of course I didn't write down where the pasuk is. Okay, so he says b'rosh ha'shmeret, when it says that Gidon came to attack to defend the Jewish people, did you find it?
He was just born. One second.
Shoftim Vav. You're in Shoftim Vav?
Vavar Zion, yeah.
Vavar Zion? Let's see if we can find it. Book of Shoftim, Vavar Zion. All of you with your Tanakh. Book of Shoftim is right after Yehoshua.
Yeah, so Elohim came Balayla, that's what I have.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Where are you?
One second.
Vayas.
Right. It's look on Zion. Look at Zion Tet. Okay. Here we are. Okay. It says, if you're in Shoftim, Perek Vav Pasuk Zion, Perek Zion Pasuk Tet. Sorry, Zion Tet. Vayhi Balayla Hahu. It was on that night. Vayom Adav Hashem Kum Rid Bamacha Kinetati Biyadecha. Go attack the camp of the Plishim, of course, because the Plishim are the hated enemies, right?
Midian and Amalek.
Really? I'll see what I know. Okay.
Just two psukim in.
Midian and Amalek? Ah, Midian b'yadecha. Okay, correct. I'm sorry. Skip. Skip to pasuk yud tet. Vayavo Gidon u'me'a ish asher ito b'kseh ha'machaneh. So So they went into, Gidon and his 100 men went to the edge of the camp. Rosh ha'ashmeret ha'tichona. Ashmeret is the watch. So the beginning of the Ashmeret, Acha came ekimet ha'shomrim. But they had yet to establish the guards. Okay? They had newly posted the sentinels. Vayitku'u v'shofrot, v'nafotz v'kadim asher
b'yadam. At the changing of the guard.
At the changing of the guard. When was the changing of the guard of the Midianites? So, and of course, what happened? They did this whole thing, etc., etc. They blew the shofar and they attacked. And it says, "Vayasam Hashem et cherev ish b'ra'eyu u'b'chol ha'machane v'yanas ha'machane ad beit ha'shita." They won, right?
The Gidon.
Balayla hu. When is Rosh Hashmaret? So, look. Now we'll go back to our Haggadah. V'Rosh Hashmaret zehalayla. Right? When is Rosh Hashmaret? This
midnight.
Is midnight. Okay. So, meaning when was Gidon's victory?
At midnight.
Next thing. That's bet. Okay?
For Aleph, is it just a general statement?
Yes.
Bet just seems so specific. That's what I'm just wondering.
We're going to have
so
fluctuations.
Like
no, it fluctuates. It's poetry. Yeah. It fluctuates. It's interesting because he could have said very easily, the next one, the Aleph, right? Ger Tzedek Nitzachto Kishenechlak Lo Laila. Who's the Ger Tzedek?
Avram
Avinu. Right? Nitzachto, you won kishenechlak lo laila. We're going to see exactly what this refers to. So why did it say Aleph could have been Abraham Avinu? But he would never use Aleph for Abraham because...
That's not poetic.
So he'd have to think of a poetry. I don't know why he thought it started with Az. I have no idea. But that's what he wrote. Okay, what is this Abraham Avinu? Turn to Lech Lecha. Turn to Bereishit Perek Yudalet. Yeah, Bereishit Perek Yudalet. Okay. We're traveling through like I love this. It's beauty, the beauty of like the poetry of the piyut is you see that this Paitan had a mastery of all of Tanakh clearly because he's just quoting words. What? It's all over the place. We just started. You know what I'm saying? But he also is not just Tanakh. He's a mastery of Midrash. Okay, so Perek, where are we? Perek.
Yudalit and
Vav. Yudalit. Did you know by heart or you had a thing?
I looked for it before, so I found it. No, I don't know.
Okay. Abraham Avinu is fighting the war of?
Four kings and five kings.
Okay.
He's going to rescue Lot.
Vayishma, let's look at Pasuk Yudalit. Yudalit, the Pasuk before. Vayishma Abraham Kidishba Achiv. Abraham heard that his brother, i.e., his nephew, was held captive. He roused up, his vayarek et chanichav. He led forth his trained servants born to his own house. 318. Remember the midrash about what's the midrash about 318?
It's the gematria of Eliezer.
That midrash says it was just him and Eliezer. Right? They fought on their own. Like I always envisioned that God, created a time machine and gave him a machine gun. And, that's it. So they were powerful enough for 318 people. Okay.
What?
Pasuk tetvav. Next pasuk. You see it? Vayichalek alehem laila. Hu va'avadav vayakem. I'll translate. He divided himself against them, he and his servants by night. Vayichalek alehem laila. Let's read the pasuk. It's a hard pasuk to understand. What does it mean? Vayechalek aleihem laila. Who divided what?
They cut up the night between all these people.
Who cut up the night? Vayechalek. Who did it?
Abram.
What did he do?
Shira.
They divided up the night. Okay. Hu v'avadav vayakem. Vayakem is hard. It's a little difficult to understand. Like, who's doing the dividing in the pasuk? So, Rashi says, here, Lefi Pshuto, according to the Peshat, Sarasa Mikra, it's an incomplete verse, meaning that the pasuk is writing in shorthand. Vayichalek hu va'avadav aleihem laila. Like, he and Abraham and his servants split up into the night. Right? That seems to be what it means. Kederach ha'rodfim, like those who lay chase. Shemit palgim acharan yirdafim sheborchim. Like, when all the people start running away, so you guys go right, we go left, and let's take them. Okay. Umidrash agada, says the Midrash, I'm reading Rashi. Shenechlak ha'layla. The night divided up. Ubechetzio harishon naase nes. Ubechetzio hasheini nishmar ubar lo lachatzot. Ubechetzio hasheini naase nes. Ubechetzio hasheini nishmar ubar lo lachatzot laila shamitzrayim. That God split up the night. Okay, this is what the Midrash says. Vayechalek aleim laila. Rabbi Yehuda, one second. I'm Rabbi Yochanan.
There's your time machine.
Right, there's a time machine. Rabbi Yamin bar Yefat Mishram Yochanan. Halayla nechlak le'enav. Le'elav. The night divided on its own.
Right, because it says Vayechalek.
Right.
Like that it did, isn't that it did it itself.
It says Vayechalek? Yeah, Vayechalek aleim. And it was divided. The night was divided. Okay, Rabbanan Amre. And the rabbi said, Yotzro chalko. That God split up the night. Am HaKadosh Baruch Hu, said God. It's beautiful. There's a Avihem Pa'al Imi B'chatzi HaLayla. Avihem, their forefather, i.e., the Jewish people's forefather, Avraham, he worked on their behalf in the middle of the night. Af Ani Po'elim Banav B'chatzi HaLayla. So I will also pay them back in the middle of the night. Ve'ematai, when? B'mitzrayim V'ayihi B'chatzi HaLayla. So there's always this beautiful reference. So when he says, Ger tzedek nitzachto kishenechlak lo laila, nechlak lo means the laila, the night was divided on his behalf. Why? God said, you got the chatzot? Okay, stop. I'm gonna save the rest of this night. Hold on to it and use your credit when? When your children, when your grand, great, great grandchildren need the credit, need the nes, I'll save it for later. Nechlak lo. And that's the meaning of the pasuk. Vayechalek lo laila. So that's all in these. Ger tzedek nitzachto. Kishenechlak lo laila. That's the implication of that line. That he's quoting the pasuk. And he's alluding to the midrash that God is saving, dividing the night up. And saving it for the Jewish people later on. That's a very interesting question. What? Why?
Well, kind of the pasuk of laila. It's mystical.
Wow,
mystical heebie jibby.
What does heebie jibby mean? Scary?
Yeah.
Uncomfortable.
Now read a different version. Amar la Kadosh said God, Ata isiti asita imi me emesh ad chatzi alayla. You worked from on my behalf. You fought in order to save Lot from the night until half the night. The harakta bisonai. You killed those who I hate. I hate. Chayecha ani oste becha im banecha mechatzot ad haboker. So I'll do the second half of the night. From midnight until the morning, as it says, Vayi b'chatzi halayla. The real question is, so then interesting, why is the Midrash making a connection between Avraham and the night and the chatzi halayla of Mitzrayim?
That's cool, obvious.
Which is?
We didn't have Tarim, which happened in the middle of the night, which is where Hashem promised him that he would take Bnei Israel out of Mitzrayim.
Excellent. Absolutely correct. He says here, one second. Okay, one second. Psikta Rabati. Amar Rav, I don't know who it is. Kavayachal Adam Sheporeash Daro Biyotzeh L'Cheirut. The person is paying off his debt. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like, said God. Ho'ilu parati et ashtar shayichit chayav la'Avraham zekeinam. God feels like, I now paid off my debt to Abraham. She'amarti, I said, V'gam et agoy asher ya'avodu dan anochi. This is in Bereshit. Tetvav Yudalit. It's right here. Right here, by the way, right after the salvation at night, is Brit Ben HaBetarim. And Rina is absolutely correct. The Brit Ben HaTarim, it says that Abraham waited. What do you say?
Vayihi Hashemesh
Lavo. Vayihi Hashemesh Lavo. Night or day?
I thought it was night.
Interesting. They don't say that at night.
I know why. Because Vayihi Eima Chashecha Gdola Nofel Olam.
Right.
Which is not night. It's an
not
emotional
night. Not
night
per se.
Night.
Okay, right. So it says, ani yotzei mechovati shivtachti Abraham avichem. I'm now paying off my debt.
Oh, habena hashamaimos for hakochavim. That's why. How else could he count the stars if it wasn't night?
No, but then that was before. That's the beginning. Then Abraham had to do the whole thing.
Okay, whatever. Sorry.
Okay. So it says the following. Abraham, Amar Abraham, oto chatzi alayla. Abraham said, at the middle of the night, in that midnight, when God stopped a miracle, right? We're winning, and then everything sort of calms down. Madu ein atanot nali. So how come you're not giving me the rest of the night? Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So God said, no. Sarich ani ota levanecha. I have to save it for your children. She'atid ani la'asod ba'geula, v'zohi yetziat mitzrayim. So God says, Avraham Avinu, putting the rest of the night in the bank. I'm saving it for your children. I don't want to use it up now. Right? So that there's this promise of redemption. Avraham is the person who merited this promise of redemption. And then Avraham Avinu, and therefore, that's why the representation of the night later on.
What does it mean to save half the night?
What are you looking for? What kind of answer you want? Karen said it's heebie-jeebie. You know what I'm saying?
That's very parsimonious.
Very what?
Very parsimonious. No, I think it's a... like saving money, like very chosech.
Stingy?
Not stingy, not in a negative way, but I don't know. To me, it feels like, especially with that part that you read about where Avram says,
what she was asking is, what does God need half a night? Right.
No, but when he says here, when Avram says to Hashem, why can I keep going? It's like, don't be greedy. Like, miracles don't just come. Like, they're meted out and they're measured and they're...
Or there'll be another time when you need this.
Oh, right. I think that that's what the Midrash is alluding to. In what merit did we, why did we deserve this incredible salvation in the middle of the night? Why did God go out in the middle of the night? Why did this crazy miracle happen of Makat B'Chorot that redeemed the Jewish people? And I think that's what the Midrash is alluding to. That who really deserves this redemption? Avraham Avinu. It's all in Zchut Avraham. It's all Zchut Avot. And that's a major theme throughout all of, you know, Judaism. Like we say it every day, Elohei Avraham, Elohei Yitzchak, Elohei Yaakov, that without the Avot, we would be nothing.
And the point is we want to strive to be like them.
Why?
Why else would we be always referring to them and thanking them and grateful to them?
We're not thanking them. We're invoking their merit to God. Mm-hmm. You are who you are.
So they're helping us. I mean, we're invoking their merit.
Yes.
We want them intercede.
No, they're dead. Right.
Okay. Well, there is that concept, though.
Now you're all above my pay grade. I don't know how to answer that. You know what I'm saying?
Go to the Chabad house for that.
No, right. Go to Chabad house for that if you want. Okay.
No, but it's funny because a lot of the things that I bring up, we went to Chabad, like that's who we had in our neighborhood in Brooklyn for 15 years.
In Brooklyn?
In Brooklyn.
There was only Chabad in Brooklyn?
We lived in Cobble Hill, which is Brooklyn Heights, basically. And so, like...
Now it's like so many Jews. It's like now it's like...
Well, there were always so many Jews, but like... it's very Jewish, but non-religious.
Interesting. Okay, anyway, yeah.
Right, it's like, whatever. But like, so I noticed that your background is just really different. Like, to me, what's so normal, and like so many of the people that the circles I was in, go to Chabad or Karabakh or like... So these concepts are so like, we're just so used to hearing them. And then when I mention it here, you're like, wait. And I think, where have you been in like the last 15 years? Or like when Chabad is everywhere and everyone's learning Jewish mysticism. And like, I mean, I don't say this as an insult, God forbid, because you're like brilliant and I love you in your class.
You keep saying that, like, it's fine.
You guys know what I mean? Like maybe you've also been in the little bubble. Like in America, Chabad is like everywhere and they're like espousing the mystic Yiddishkeit, and
it's
like
the foo-foo of
Kiro. One second. I have to say, I am less anti-mysticism. This whole shiur is sort of rooted in this idea of mysticism. Like you said, it's heebie-jeebies. But I have no claim to know what in the world it means per se. Like that's what it's like. I think that's what you were asking. What does it mean? Like this, right? Like.
So what I was going to say is that if you go, rewind, 20 minutes, and you're talking about how Rav Feinstein Rav Avadya Yosef had two completely different halachic views and opinions on slichot, and they're both, great gedolim. I just say there's different ways of approaching these things, and it doesn't mean that one's right and one's wrong. I just think that they're just totally different, and I'm more of like a practical, brisker kind of, halachic
rationalist,
and so I'm struggling with this part of it, but there are people who...
See, I was raised in the halachic, construct, but I definitely have come to understand that there's so much more than meets the eye that we don't appreciate and we don't understand. And I truly believe it. But do I believe that Avraham Avinu is interceding on my behalf? I don't see it in that way necessarily. My understanding of how shall we say, the Jewish people is that our existence spans history, meaning time is much less linear than we think. This is my, if you want to get it like... That's the way I view it. So is Avraham right now, you know, interceding on my behalf? There is a presence of Avraham Avinu in the universe, in the world, in the spiritual realm that exists throughout all time. You know what I'm saying? We talk about him as a historical person. He did that then. But his doing that then is affecting us now. It exists today. So do I think that there's a guy, Avraham, talking to God at this moment? I don't think about it in that way. You know what I'm saying? So that's why it makes me uncomfortable necessarily to say, Avraham, please intercede on my behalf. I don't see it in that way. I don't think it's that literal necessarily. But we exist. Our existence as a Jewish people is because of Zechut Avot. It's because of the merit of the Avot, because of the relationship that these Avot had with God. And that's who we are. You know what I'm saying? Judaism is one of the only religions that really believes that maternal blood connection between parent and child is critically important. That you have that relationship between your forefathers. They are your forefathers. Right? You know, why else would we say it every day? Elohei Abraham, Elohei Yitzchak, Elohei Yaakov. We are who we are because of them, because of who they were, because of their actions. And this is a connection. Mitzrayim happened because of the Avot. The ultimate redemption will happen because of the Avot. You know, and we sometimes tend to forget that. And I think that that's, so, I don't know, like you could agree or see it that way, you know. I have a problem going and asking the Babbage Rebbe to intercede on my behalf. I think he's dead. That doesn't mean he wasn't a great person. That doesn't mean his actions weren't critically important for the Jewish people, and his influence will continue to affect and to be a zchut for all of us. But there's a really fine line between that and believing in powers that are, you know, non-Jewish. And it's very dangerous. I go to the kever of my parents. I'm not a big Rebbe guy. I don't really understand or feel connected to going to Kibrei Avot. I go to Maran HaMachpelah, and I pray that the zchut of the Avot. I go and I pray that the zchut of my parents. I go actually to honor my parents, to give kavod to my, you know, to my father when I go to the kever. But it's like it's a very questionable thing. That's actually a great discussion about going and praying at Kibarim. You know, but some people are really into it. The only problem I personally have a problem when you go to a kever and you ask, you know, Shimon HaTzadik to intervene on my behalf. He died. You know what I'm saying? So does he know who I am? I don't really, but again, it's about my pay grade. Who am I to say no? Plenty of great Gedolim did it. Okay, but all that is in Geret Tzedek Yitzavto Kenechshar Nechalak Lo Laila, right? That all of that is in this Midrash, and the Briben HaPtarim is all stripped into that one line of Avraham Avinu's merit. Let's go on. Danta Melech Gerar B'chalom Laila. Who's the Melech Gerar? Abimelech Gerar. What happened to him in the middle of the night?
Bad things.
Okay, right. What did he do?
He tried to be with Sarah.
Right. He kidnapped Sarah. Abimelech Melech Gerar. He didn't kidnap her. He took her as his wife. And so what happened in the middle of the night? He got a little sick. Okay. And God came to him and said, he had a dream and said, you really don't want to be doing this in the middle of the night. Next one. Hifchadata Arami Be'emesh Laila. Who's Arami?
Laban.
Laban HaArami is the Arami. Okay. What had happened to Laban HaArami in the middle of the night?
We had a dream in Haya.
That's correct. Let's just look at it. Let's take a minute to look at it.
This is fun.
Isn't it? It's like flying through Tanakh. Okay. Where are we? It's the end of Parshat. It's end of Parshat. Vayetze. Right before Vayishlach. Freshit. Lamed. Aleph. Lamed Aleph. Here we are. Breshit Lamid Aleph.
It's the Gilad part. Galad. Right?
Yeah, that's Galad. One second.
No, it's before that.
Here we are. Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Chaf Dalet. Lamed Aleph Chaf Dalet. Okay. Laban is chasing him. He catches up in Har Gilad. Vayavo Elohim El Lavan Ha'arami B'chalom HaLaila. God came to Lavan Ha'arami, and that's the Arami that appears, right? B'chalom HaLaila. Vayomer Lo Hishtamer Lecha Ben Tedaber Yaakov Mitov Adra. Don't talk to Yaakov Mitov Adra. Of course, what does Laban do? Yeah, he ignores God, but you know, that's the idea. Hivchadata Arami be'emesh Laila. You invoke the fear of him The Emesh Laila. Emesh?
Emesh means last night, so
right.
I don't get it.
I don't really. What is he? How do they translate Emesh Laila?
Oh, this is all commentary. That's not really translated.
Really? Do they bring all this stuff?
Well, it says you frighten Lavan, the Aramean, in the darkness.
The Emesh, in the darkness of light, but it's not
right.
Really. Okay.
But it's not a direct translation.
It's okay.
It's all commentary.
Next
you
one.
Have in the night.
In the night, Emesh Laila. Emesh. The darkness of the night.
Yeah.
Right, it's poetry. I don't exactly know what Emesh means. V'Yisrael yashar la'el v'yuchal lo. What's that referring to?
Yasar.
Yasar. Okay, I'm sorry. Yasar la'el. Yaakov Yisrael. Right? In the middle of... What?
Oh, you're cheating. You're cheating.
Yasar. No. When did what happened? Yaakov wrestled with the angel. Okay? Yasar el. Why is that? That's a direct quote. In the next parsha, in Vayishlach. Okay, exactly in Parashat Vayishlach, the very beginning of Parashat Vayishlach, Perek Lamid Bet. Okay, Pasuk Kafchet, Lamid Bet Kafchet. Vayomer Eilav, remember Yaakov is fighting with the angel of?
Esav.
Vayomer lo Mashimcha, what's your name? Vayomer Yaakov. Vayomer, lo Yaakov ye'amer od Shimcha, ki im Yisrael. Why? Ki sarita im Elohim v'im anashim v'tuchal. Okay, your name will be Yisrael. Why is your name Yisrael? Because thou hast contended with God and with men. Sarita. Okay? Why it mean contended? It's unclear. But Yisrael, Yasar, Sarita. That's from the word Kisarita im Elohim. La'el, you contended with God. You struggled with God. Vayuchalo. Vayuchalo. And you are Vatucha. That's from the Pasuk. Kisarita im Elohim v'im anashim Vatucha. Okay, so Vayuchal though is a paraphrase of the word Vatuchal. You were left capable, able. Laila, that happened in the middle of the night. Vayahi b'chatzia laila, it happened in the middle of the night. Okay, so we had Barosh Ashmoret Gidon, I think. Ger Tzedek Avraham, Elimelech, Avimelech, Lavan Yaakov.
The only problem with saying that Rosh Hashmoret is Gidon is that it takes everything else is in halach, is in chronological order.
Right. That's why some don't say it. They don't say it. But when he says Rosh Hashmoret, Rosh Hashmoret is a quote from Rosh Hashmoret Tatichona.
What?
Right. I mean, he needed a bet. What he clearly did is he made a list. You know what I'm saying? Of all the stuff. Like, that's how you make a list of all the stuff, and then you have to include all the things.
No, but he could have done, he used the bet, it's a weak bet. He could have done it for anything, because he just used it as a prefix anyway.
Right.
He
could have done it with anything. Gimel, he clearly wanted gear. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, Zion. Zera bechorei patros, machatzta b'chatzi halai. See if you can figure it out without looking, Karen.
Oh,
see if you can figure it out. You're out?
I'm out. I don't remember.
Yeah, but you do know. Figure it out from the context.
Patros?
Well what do you know from the words?
Sounds like Persian or something.
Oh, good. But what word is the clue?
Bechore.
Bechore. Okay. But machatzta, limchotz, means to wipe out. When were the Bechore wiped out?
Why is it not like from chetzi?
What?
Why is it not from chetzi? Like mechitza?
That's right. Machat Bechorot. Okay. Machatzta. It's a poetic word for to cut in half.
It's a euphemism.
To cut in half, right? Okay. So patros. Turns out, if you look at Yechezkel Lamed Yudalid, which you're welcome to do if you want, okay? The Yechezkel says the words, you want to look it up? What is it? Just read me the Pasuk, I don't have time to. Okay? Lamed Yudalid. What do you got? Shira, okay. She's into this, I can see. Yechezkel Lamed Yudalid.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Okay, so I will destroy Patros. Patros, it turns out, is the northern region of Egypt. The place where the Egyptian rulers, it was the seat of the Egyptian, ruling party for hundreds of years.
Petra.
Who knows? Yeah, good. Well, Petra
but
is
that's
not.
In Jordan.
Right. Okay. Zerah, the seeds of Bechorei, the firstborn of Patros. Right, of the Egyptian realm, machatzta b'chatzi halayla. So that's just a reference to
Makar b'chorot.
Chilam lo matzu b'kumam b'alayla. That's just a throwaway line.
No. It's with Chayil Paro, maybe.
Okay, right. Their Chayil. I mean, it didn't add a new thing. Their Chayil. Their armies. Lo matzu bikumam balayla. They were not able to rise up and fight back against God.
Chase after the Jews.
Well, they chased after.
They did not find their treasure when they arose.
Kumam is their treasure?
I don't know. I don't know. That sounds a little too much for me. Okay.
That's all commentary.
That's not true. Okay, next one. Tisat nigid charoshet silita bekochve laila. This is a really hard one. Tisat. Okay.
The flight.
What?
No, it's clearly not the flight because that's an anachronism.
It is the flight. But he writes here, tisat is an Aramean word. Right? It means
really?
Flight. Okay, it's from Aramid. It means ti'ufa, the flight of nigid charoshet. Nigid, the leader of charoshet, is the charoshet. How do they translate it?
Prince.
Prince. Charoshet. Charoshet. I think.
They say Sisera.
It is Sisera.
Oh, swept away.
No. That's not
Swept away with the stars of the night.
We've swept away with the stars of the night. Okay. Look in Shoftim Perakeh.
Well, that's another piyut. You're using a piyut to describe a piyut.
Yes, that's is that beyond? Would that be beyond a python? Shoftim Perakeh. Shoftim Perakeh is Shirat Devorah. So if you look at Hey Kaf, okay, in Devorah writes, you see it, Shoftim Perakeh Kaf, Min Hashamayim Nilchamu, right? They fought from the heavens. Hakoch Nilchamu Hakochavim Mimisilotam Nilchamu Im Sisra. Okay, hakochavim. See the b'misilotam. See the words hakochavim b'misilotam. The stars from their misilot, from their the stars in their courses, fought with Sisera. Okay. See the word silita. That's borrowed from misilotam. You the stars fought in a way in order to. By the way, Misilat Yesharim. Right, yeah, very good. Right, it's the same thing. It's the course, the path. Okay, silita, tisat, the flight of the negir charoshet. I thought charoshet was metal, but I'm not sure. Negir, I don't know why it's called negir charoshet.
Translate.
What?
It doesn't translate.
Doesn't even translate. Negir charoshet. Okay.
Here. Wait a minute. Right. Before, in
Parakalit. Besar tzvaos Yisrael, who yoshev b'chareshet ha'goyim.
One second, please. Eik Yisrael korech bo tishama od rechev barzel v'et kol ha'masher ito mecharoshet ha'goyim el nachal kishon.
Great. Okay. Negid charoshet.
That's where they lived.
Where's that? What pasuk is that? It's
Dalid Yodalid.
Dalid Yodgimel. Right. Charoshet ha'goyim. Very good. Okay. Silita b'kochvei laila. So it's a combination of the description of Sisera, okay, and then he was fought by the Kochvei Laila. Let's remember, how was the flight of the Negir Charoshet, the leader of Charoshet? How did his flight end?
That's so good.
How and when?
Middle of the night.
When?
How do you know in the middle of the night?
Of course it was the middle of the night. Absolutely correct. It was the middle of the night. When?
Thinking about it being in the middle of the night.
Excuse me, how did the flight of Sisera end?
He ends up in Yael's house.
Uh-huh.
And she kills him.
How does she kill him?
With a tent peg.
When?
She makes him drunk.
She gets him. She feeds him.
Warm
milk, and he falls asleep.
Yeah, but it doesn't.
He doesn't fall asleep in the middle of the day. So that's the implication. When did that happen? That's exactly. So he's saying that the midrash is saying, or the allusion is that when she says bimsilat, that's what she says. What she say? Min hashamayim nilchamu hakochavim mimsilotam nilchamu im Sisera. When the stars came out, the stars came to fight Sisera. They got him to drink that stinking milk and to get drunk and to fall asleep, and then. Valiant Yael took the tent peg and boom, right, that was the end of him. That's Chatzot HaLayla. That happened in the middle of the night. B'kochve Laila. Nice, isn't it?
I always pictured it during the day that it was just like this.
Really?
What? Yeah, Sisera?
She got to fall asleep. I assumed it was time.
You mean nap time? I don't know.
No, he was just fighting a war.
I don't think it makes sense.
After the investigation.
Okay. We'll do a little bit more. Okay. Ya'at mecharef lenofef ivui. Hovashta pigarav Balayla.
Oh, wait a minute. I know that. Wait a minute. Mecharev. I know that one. That was Sancharev. That's Sancharev. That's Sancharev.
Okay. Yes. Mecharev is someone who is abominate to God.
No, like, it's the way you talk.
The nofef. What is the nofef? We have a very, very famous phrase about Sancherev. He was menofef yado. When he came to see the, when he came from the, from down from Ashur. That's right. Menofef yado. He waved his arm and said, "Oh, we'll just, we're gonna take out that city like nothing." Okay. Nofef ivui. I don't know what that word means. Havashta pigarav, you dried out. Pigarim are
dead
bodies. Balayla.
But that was Pesach night.
What's the story? How do you know it's Pesach night?
That's the.
What's the story? The story tells it from the Jews' perspective.
They're standing outside. No, they're around the there's a siege around the city of Jerusalem.
Siege, a great siege. And there's thousands and tens of thousands of soldiers.
Right, and
what happens?
In the middle of the night, a plague comes.
How do you know? What happened?
They wake up in the morning and all the...
Who woke up? The story says that there were these sick guys and everybody starving to death.
What
parak
is
it? Okay? Right? L'charev Elohim was the Mecharev God. And the story says that these lepers, according to the Navi, the lepers, they had nothing to eat. They're like, maybe we'll go find some food. We'll go out to the camp. And they go out to the camp and they're like, it's empty. It's desolate. It's dead. There's nothing there. Right? And the Jews don't know because it's the middle of the night. Right? And there was this great plague, it says. The plague came and wiped out the entire army in the middle of the night. And that's what it means. Ya'atz mecharef lenofef ivui, hovashta pigarav balayla. Hovashta, you dried out, you destroyed his dead bodies in the middle of the night. And that's it.
No, I'm not finding it.
Where's this Malchim Bet?
Ah, it's Yishayahu Yud Lamibet is Yinofef Yado Har Batzion.
But that's not the story.
Yado.
But that's not the famous story.
That's a song from, what are they called?
Kolachai. But that's not the story.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, okay. Vayetzi Malach Hashem. Malachim Bet Yud Tet Lamet Hay. Yud Tet Lamet Hay.
Lamet Hay.
Read it.
I was right, there was a Malach HaMavet. Okay.
How many?
185,000.
They're all dead. So maybe that was a
good story. I don't know where you got the leper from.
I might have mixed two stories.
No, but there was the Mecharef.
Wouldn't shock me if I mixed two stories in Navi. So that's mecharef lenofef. It's a reference to.
No, but not only. It says before that Rav Shakeh, Rav Shakeh was the general.
What is it? Yedalet Tet. Read Yedalet Tet.
Yedalet Dalet. It says.
Yedalet Dalet.
Ulai Yishma Hashem Elokechad Kol Divrei Rav Shakeh Asher Shelacho Melech Ashur Adonav Lecharef Elohim.
That's the mecharef. Rav Shakeh is mecharef. Next one. Kara Bel. Umatzavo biishton laila. Baal is a reference to the idolatry of Babel. Baal, Babel. Okay. Kara means he bent knee. Umatzavo biishton laila. Okay.
This is the Babylonian idol.
Right. Baal. Kara Baal. But see, we said Baal. Meaning there's a pasuk Yishayahu. Kara Baal kores nevo. Baal is avodah shel rasha Babel. That's in Yishayahu mem vav aleph. I'm using the parish of Rabbi Ephraim Mibuna, so I thank Rabbi Ephraim for all these parishim. Okay, Liish Chamudot.
That's Daniel.
Yeah, Niglar Raz Chazot Balayla. Right, Daniel Ish Chamudot. It was revealed to him Raz.
Secret.
Chazot. Vision. Who revealed his vision to Daniel in the night?
Nebuchadnezzar.
Right, Nebuchadnezzar. Remember, had his famous dream of the writing on the wall.
Yeah.
You're looking at me blank, but remember handwriting on the wall.
Mene,
what's that?
Mene tekel ufarsim.
Oh, I don't even know that.
Those are the words on the wall.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You're not familiar with the phrase handwriting on the wall?
Yeah.
That's from the book of Daniel, right? That's a reference to seeing the handwriting on the wall that he envisioned. What's the explanation of that?
I don't remember how he explained it.
It means you're.
But there was like words that like they weren't Hebrew, they weren't English. It was like this, not English. They weren't Persian.
Vayihi b'chatzi ha'layla mishtaker b'klei kodesh mishtaker. Okay.
Became drunk.
Became drunk with the klei kodesh by drinking from the vessels of the mikdash. Neherag bo b'layla.
Belshazzar,
right? I'm not so good at the Aramaic. All those like Daniel. It's basically the book of Daniel.
Don't tell your mother.
She never taught it to me. Okay.
Yeah, but that's her wheelhouse.
Yeah. Ne'erag Baba Laila. Nosha Mibor Arayot.
Daniel again.
Daniel again. Right? He was saved, Daniel, from the boar, from the well of the lions. Poter, he liftor means to interpret bi'atute laila, the desires of the night. That's again a reference to his interpreting the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. So we turn back to Daniel again. Sina natar ha'agagi ve'katav svarim balayla.
That's Haman.
There's a whole book that I couldn't find that I have to look called. There's a psikta called Psikta Rav Kahana called Vatomer Tzion. I have to look it up. I have to find it. I just didn't have time to go into my shuta or whatever. Psikta Rav Kahana. There's a whole midrash telling the whole story of Haman and his desire in the middle of the night. Right? Remember also, Haman's redemption was also, we're going to see, in the middle of the night. But Haman's whole, his laying out of his whole plan was that he was and stayed up at night. He couldn't sleep. And that's when he developed the final solution to destroy all the Jews in
and Achashverosh couldn't say.
What?
Haman. His redemption?
No, his plan, Sin'ah Natar Ha'agagi. Right? Haman Ha'agagi. He placed Natar, he kept his hatred, the Katav Svarim Balayla. Remember, he sent them all out in the morning. He sent out those, somebody had to stay up in the middle of the night writing the letters to destroy the Jewish people. Vayihi B'chatzi Ha'layla. Okay. Then, in response to that, Orarta Nitzchacha Alav, right? You awoke the Nitzchacha, the Netzachon, the victory over Haman, B'neder Neded Shnat Halayla, Neded Balayla Hahu. This is Esther. Nadida Shnat Hamela. Achashverosh couldn't sleep.
Or Hashem.
What?
Or lo yanum.
Or right, God can't sleep. Right.
Nitzchach
alav. Pura tidroch. The shomer ma milayla. This is an allusion to.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, you know that one? I'd be really impressed if you know that
pura,
one.
Tidroch, pura is.
B'toch batzva, b'gam b'shel tidroch.
Pura is something with the grapes.
Excellent. That's really impressive.
Is it paro?
No, it's not paro. It's an allusion to Yishayahu Samach Gimel Gimel. Pura darachti levadi. That's very impressive. Droch pura. Very good. Begam bavel asher gavra. Nitot zarai asher avra.
Yeah, Yishayahu what?
It's a reference to...
Yishayahu what?
Samach Gimel Gimel. It's a reference to the kingdom of Edom, the grapes of Edom. That God one day will redeem us from the Purati droch l'shomer ma milayla. Okay? He explained somewhere. From Edom. He's the shomer lasot. He's the shomer ma. He's holding Edom is the final galut. He's holding on to us in order to see what he can do for us during the night. Tzarach kashomer v'sas. So now Tzarach cried out. The shomer cried out and he rejoiced. V'sach, and he said, Ata boker.
Ba
boker, the day has come, Vagam Laila. It's day and also night. It's a reference to the idea of day and night together. Day and night together. By the way, this is also an allusion. We've talked about it in the past, that there's an idea of the redemption of Egypt happened when?
In the middle of the night.
When did they go out?
In the middle of the night.
No, when did they actually leave?
Oh, in the morning.
Right, in the morning. So there's this midtime there's a time between night, between midnight and day that's lo yom velo laila. They're redeemed and not redeemed. That the Jewish people are waiting for redemption. And that's the next thing. Karev yom ashehu lo yom velo laila. Right? Will come soon the day that's no longer not day and not night. Ram hoda ki lecha hayom af lecha halayla. Ram, raise up your voice. It will be known that to you God is the day and the night. Shomim hafked, right? Shomim hafked the ircha, right? You have set shomim guards. You should just know that sing this in the show when they do a mishaber for someone who's going into the IDF. They sing this song. Shomim hafked the ircha, kol hayom kol halayla. Ta'ir ki'or yom cheshkat layla. Let it
shine tzviva.
The light of the day in the darkness of the night. Vayehi v'chatzi halayla. It ends off with a prayer that the night should end, and the redemption should come, and God should redeem, you know, the Geula should come for all the Jewish people. That finally the promise of the night should turn the night into the day. Great piyut. So much fun.
Yeah.